Scott, SJWellfire.com, Final Days Report, episode 450, From Babylon to Blockchain, The Rise of the Antichrist Financial Order. I want to cover four things in this VCast. We're going to get into some economics. I used to be an economics minor. I had to take seven classes. I appreciate it. And I used to follow it and get the Economist magazine. Then when I woke up, I realized it. Everything I was taught was a house of cards. The best economics class you could ever take is watch Money Masters. It's a five-hour documentary about fractional reserve banking, the Federal Reserve Bank. That will wake you up. But I used to follow and study and research and really look at the Fed interest rates and the circulation of money. I used to look at all this stuff for years after college. I loved it. And then had my little bubble burst. But we're going to dive into some economics on how they're trying to destroy USA Inc., I think, by design. And so the four things I want to cover in this VCast: how in trouble is USA Inc. with obligations and debt? And how in trouble is the US dollar? And are they using the collapse for a civil war? What's the purpose? Why? What's the evidence thereof? And the third point, this is me speculating with the word of God and putting my strategy hat on. You know, I used to be a corporate marketing executive, ran business units for CPG companies where my specialty was strategy, 5 to 10 year strategic planning. So how will the Antichrist false prophet bring on the mark of the beast money system? Tricks from the past to devalue your money and further enslave you. And then I just want to cover right now news about Trump. Is he the lawless one? Now, personally, I think from the dream I had in 2008 that I've linked back to scripture, I think the Antichrist will be hooked up to artificial intelligence and show up as a hologram. So I think that's TBD. And the Tower of Babel, according to Chabad Lupovich, according to the president tweet from El Salvador, artificial intelligence is the Tower of Babel. There's nothing new under the sun, my friends. This is their power move, but it's bio-digital convergence, brain-computer interface to control your mind. Lucifer wants to know your thoughts, read your thoughts, just like God can. But let's read. I found this alarming. Trump admin orders federal agencies to scrub all worker COVID vaccine records, and people are saying, yay, no more forced vaccination. That's not what this is about. What this is about is lawsuit prevention. What happened to the Vietnam vets is they lost and their medical records. It was burned down in a fire. I remember reading stories about major financial companies, Iron Mountain, all of a sudden burned down with the paper backup records. My question is, why? Why are these records burning, especially with the veterans? Fraud? Burn the evidence? Think about 911, the Enron case, and Building 7. All those records disappeared. This is a criminal tactic. Burn the evidence. So don't cheer this on for a second. This is, in my humble opinion, wickedness. All right, I'm going to play a video at the end with Aaron. I think her name is Melissa Dykes. They did an excellent 20-minute video about the Constitution being erased, the sections, habeas corpus, and tariffs. This is big time what Trump is actually defiling with the Constitution. Tariffs really sits with Congress, not what Trump's doing. And oh, by the way, what Trump is doing is building this beast system, negotiating Starlink, ChatGPT, probably Grok, Amazon. This beast system around the world, participate in this AI little god. It's wickedness, my friends. And I was thinking about this. I talked about how in Thessalonians, I think it was Paul that said, hey, you did not miss the rapture. You're going to see the Antichrist, and he's going to sit in the holy place. It's 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 3 through 10. You can read it. And I think the holy place is you. You're the temple of God. You have the Holy Ghost sitting in you. A third temple in Israel, if God's not in it, is it holy? It's not. the red heifers, Old Testament nonsense. Jesus was the ultimate sacrifice. So I'm not buying it for a second. Now, I go back to this tweet that the mainstream news will say did not exist and it's folk, fake and phony. My blood is the vaccine at Real Donald Trump, October 5th, 2023. Like 840 retweets, likes, over 2,000. A lot of people are on this channel. People took screenshots. This person here said, yes, he really did tweet this. Deleted now, but screenshot and saved by thousands. Think we can safely say he now is entering a Messiah complex. Life is in the blood. Type in blood on sjwellfire.com. We've done some pretty good Bible studies on life is in the blood. And why does Lucifer want to defile the blood? It's graphene black goo. So it's just getting interesting. It's getting interesting. Then the last story, DC National Guard in Washington, DC. You know, Trump said, let's get rid of the homeless in DC. Let's stop all this massive crime. And then he says he's going to go after Chicago and New York. This, to me, does a couple things. We've talked about in our last podcast about going after mental illness and locking up homeless. Soon that will be you. Think about when the Mark of the Beast gets fully implemented and you cannot buy or sell without the Mark of the Beast. And I think it'll be for 3.5 years, personally. And I'm a post-trib rapture guy. So let's say I'm right. I have a ton of pre-trib rapture listeners, and I appreciate them. My best friends are pre-trib rapture believers. I'm nudging a couple of them with very, very thoughtful debates. But let's say you can't buy or sell. What I would do is if you see this coming on, if you see the Antichrist really where you know in your heart of hearts, there's so much prophecy coming together. And let's say you own some land. The big thing is, or some, you know, you own your house, taxes. They're going to kick you out with taxes. So pay your taxes in advance if you can. You know, I'm not giving financial advice. I'm saying when this happens, and or personally, I think we'll be living in the woods because we'll have mind control zombies coming after us. We're going to have to be on the run and have supernatural protection, in my humble point of view. But they're desperate for civil war. Trump's talking about going after New York, Chicago. And I'm going to prove they need to kill the creditor, that is the U.S. citizen. Silent weapons for quiet wars, when we go over the financial information. But just listen to this. Don't get, if you're a lefty, if you are just a communist lefty, don't fall for this, because ultimately, going after the homeless is going to go after Christians as they can't pay their bills. There's a war on Christians. Revelation 12, there's a war on the seed, humans. And it's going to morph to a war on Christians. Read Revelation 12. Let's play this video.
And at your direction this morning, we've mobilized the D.C. National Guard. It'll be operationalized by the Secretary of the Army, Dan Driscoll, through the D.C. Guard. You will see them flowing into the streets of Washington in the coming week. At your direction as well, sir, there are other units we are prepared to bring in. Other National Guard units, other specialized units. They will be strong. They will be tough. And they will stand with their law enforcement partners. This is nothing new for DOD. As the president noted, at the border, we've got 10,000 troops down there who've been operating in defense cooperation areas, defense zones, where there's zero illegal crossings because of troops on strikers scanning the border. We've been protecting other people's borders for 20 years. It's about time we protect our own. And we're working with ICE and CBP. In Los Angeles, we did the same thing. Working with the California National Guard, working with ICE officers. ICE officers deserve to do their job and not be attacked. We will work alongside all DC police and federal law enforcement to ensure this city is safe. This city is beautiful. And as I always say about President Trump to the troops, he has their back. And my message to the National Guard and federal law enforcement in Washington is we have your back as well. Be tough, be strong. We're right behind you. Thank you, Mr. President.
Let's dive deep into kill the creditor. How in trouble is USA Inc. with its obligations and the U.S. dollar? Folks, they're priming us for a civil war on so many fronts. First story I want to cover, Trump says U.S. court ruling against tariff authority that is really illegal would be 1929 all over again. I don't think that's the case. I think they're just kicking the can down the road. But let's read. President Trump on Friday said a potential U.S. court ruling denying his authority to impose a wide range of global tariffs, which he doesn't have the authority to do, as we get into the Constitution being erased on a government website, could have devastating impacts on the U.S. economy. See, this is where they want a civil war. If the radical left court ruled against us at this late date in an attempt to bring down or disturb the largest amount of money, wealth creation, it's not wealth creation, it's a tax on you, and influence the USA has ever seen, it would be impossible to ever recover or pay back these massive sums of money and honor, Trump said in a post on True Social. It would be 1929 all over again, a Great Depression. All right. So they're setting a stage for liberal judge. I think this screams civil war. They know it's collapsing, and I'll show you it's just unsustainable. And if the dollar collapses, and I'm going back from years ago when I really studied this hard with my economics minor, and I just stuck with it for 10, 15 years. If a quarter of the dollars, let's say, are being traded because of oil as the global reserve currency, those dollars come back here in the United States, hyperinflation. You think about a debt default, this loss of reserve currency status. This, to me, primes the Antichrist solution. And what I think they're going to do, and we'll dive deep into it, is I think they're going to have a fake jubilee, this true reset. Everything is a counterfeit. So it'll be a fake jubilee using the Old Testament. But here's what's interesting. This chart, this true inflation chart, since 2020, there's been a 30% decline in the dollar's purchasing power. And I got to tell you something, I think it's worse, because there's been some viral videos of people plugging in Buy It Again on apps like Walmart apps, other store apps, and I could not find the videos. Should have saved them. I don't know if they went 3, 4, 5 years back, but it was over 100% more expensive on the same like items. If anybody finds those videos, email me at scott@sjwellfire.com. So this is all moving towards seal 3. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, "Come and see," and I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, "A measure of wheat for a penny, and 3 measures of barley for a penny. And see, thou hurt not the oil and the wine." And so many scholars think that this is a day's wage for a meal. We're not there yet, but it's getting crazy. Now the dollar is collapsing right before your eyes. This is from Zero Hedge. Record $100 billion in T-bills issued as U.S. debt crisis turns desperate. Going back to that last article, if we're collecting all these billions and billions of dollars from tariffs, well, we're having a cash shortage. So this is a liquidity crisis. Many countries are not buying our debt. They're de-dollarizing. I heard one expert call it like a pay loan to keep the lights on with this record $100 billion T-bill. But let's read from Zero Hedge. The U.S. just issued a record-breaking $100 billion in 4-week treasury bill, short-term debt tools typically reserved for emergencies. But this isn't a one-off. Treasury officials are calling it the new norm. Why? Because we can't afford to pay off our maturing debt. Rolling it over is the only option. But as foreign demand wanes and money market funds get stretched, even that strategy is running thin. The Fed's reverse repo facility is already draining. Liquidity risks are growing. The dollar's global credibility is fading fast. I'm going to put a video, I think it's 7, 8, 9 minutes, in the back of this lady that describes what is happening. Of course, she's going to push gold in the end. But this is crazy. So then I started looking at the interest that we pay from income tax. That's illegal. It's a communist playbook. This is from the Heritage Foundation. American taxpayers are now slaves to interest payments. Reports that interest on the federal debt is currently absorbing 40% of all personal income taxes. They project that if the current trends continue, the entirety of income taxes will soon be needed to finance the debt. Now, this was 2023 of November. And so now you have more income coming in from tariffs. But this is crazy. Con game. Because you have to remember Lincoln and Kennedy, and I think maybe some others did greenbacks where there's no interest to pay back and there's no principal to pay back. There'll be an inflation worry, of course. They just pay this off and print it off. So what's going to be the scam to reset? But isn't that interesting? 40% of personal income goes to pay down the interest of the debt. And we'll look at it a couple different ways. Now, here's where it gets interesting. Trump directs Pentagon to prepare options to use force against drug cartels. The U.S. government runs the drugs. Do you remember when we attacked Afghanistan after 9/11? Did you know that the Federal Reserve Bank's balance sheets, their reported numbers, were all out of whack? And it just so happened that the Taliban was burning all the poppy fields. So then what happened? We invade Afghanistan and our troops protect the poppy fields. Think running the drugs in GI coffins in Vietnam. Coffins in Vietnam. Think about what happened in Nicaragua. Iran-Contra affair. Running cocaine into black neighborhoods. They actually did a movie on this. Clinton Chronicles, watch that video. The U.S. government runs the drugs, created acid, you name it. Get off the drugs, stop supporting a wicked government because they profit from it. So Trump directs the Pentagon to prepare options to use force against the drug cartels that they control. They might be preparing against cartels they don't control, but they're not going to bring them down. So a lot of watchmen are suspecting, is this a play to invade? If we're bankrupt, they take us to war. It's interesting, my friends. Catherine Austin Fitz, $21 trillion stolen. That number is up to over $30 trillion. Government runs the drugs again, and there's desperation to take you war because the next slide I'm going to talk about, there's $151 trillion of unfunded liabilities and obligations. It's a beyond the $37 trillion everybody always talks about. Let's read about the $37 trillion. The U.S. national debt is $37 trillion as of early 2025, with annual interest payments around $1 trillion. Federal tax revenues are $4 trillion annually. This means about 25% of tax revenues are used to service the interest on the debt. But these are tariffs. These are taxes from corporations and income taxes. And I'm sure there's some other smaller revenue streams that are insignificant. So 25% of the taxes go to the interest on the debt. That's not sustainable. Tariffs are expected to generate significant revenue in 2025, potentially up to $350 billion, some estimates as high as $700 billion, depending upon the tariff rates. So $350 billion still is not coming close to a trillion. And now let's dive into the $151 trillion in unfunded liabilities. And you think about the tariffs, the unintentional consequences is you can't buy as many things. The circulation of money slows down. Corporations have to lay people off because the pie is not getting bigger. The pie is getting smaller, right? Slow dimes versus fast nickels. They're unintentional consequences, right? It's a hidden tax on you. So I'm not buying that's going to completely destroy the U.S. if we get rid of the tariffs. It's not sustainable. So here's where it gets interesting. $151 trillion in unfunded liabilities and obligations. This, again, is why we've played silent weapons for quiet wars to kill the creditor. They have to kill you. When asked how far the U.S. government has plunged into the red, many fiscally conscious Americans will tell you the national debt has reached $37 trillion. As distressing as that official number is, Americans' true fiscal situation is even worse, far worse. According to a barely publicized Treasury report, the actual grand total of Uncle Sam's obligations is more than $151 trillion. that huge discrepancy springs from the fact that the federal government doesn't hold itself to the same accounting standards it imposes on businesses. Rather than using accrual accounting, which recognizes expenses when they're incurred, our Washington overlords self-servingly use a simple cash accounting, only recognizing expenses when they are paid. As a result, this course on federal obligations solely focuses on the national debt comprising of treasury bills, notes, and bonds. Part of what makes up these obligations, Medicaid, Social Security, benefits to the veterans, so on and so forth. So how then can the Antichrist use this with this great reset, with this fake jubilee? Because we need to think about this. Trump has been moving to normalize this digital financial tracking system with the big, beautiful bill that we've covered in the last 3, 4, 5 podcasts, the Genius Act, that are central bank digital currency-like with these stable coins. And he's moving 401ks into offering cryptocurrencies. This screams pump and dump to me. Let's read. Trump's 401k order offers retirement savers crypto private assets, but also higher fees and more risk. So as they move crypto adoption that has oversight on the blockchain, who has keys to the ledger, I don't think it's decentralized at all. It will integrate more Americans into this digital financial system, paving the way for more future oversight by the Fed, by Palantir, looking at what's on the blockchain. You're blocked and you're chained, my friends. And this 401k reminds me of a pump and dump for cryptocurrency. It just screams pump and dump. And my other thing is, are they getting ready for the US dollar to collapse, for a bank bail-in where they'll recapitalize the bank with stable coins? Pennies on the dollar you'll get. Never forget. Never forget, in 1933, the U.S. confiscated everybody's gold, gave you $20.67 an ounce, and then after increased the value to $35. Scam. Unethical. Steal gold, pay you $20. Reassess it for $35 an ounce. You can't make this stuff up. So is that going to be a playbook to make you poor in the future as the dollar collapses? So as we see the U.S. dollar collapsing and the move towards World War III, pestilence, CO3, inflation, right? As things just get so chaotic, how will the Antichrist and false prophet finalize this Mark of the Beast system where you cannot buy or sell without the Mark of the Beast? And I do think it's literal. I think when Jesus came the first time, it literally, prophecy was fulfilled, and I think it will literally be fulfilled in the New Testament. So first of all, they're destroying the old system to cover all the theft, the 21 to 32 trillion in theft that Catherine Austin Fitz talked about. Right, the Federal Reserve banking system versus just creating money that has no principal or interest to pay. It's a scam, right? So there'll be some sort of bank bail-in. And what I think with this bank bail-in, they'll recapitalize the banks, but they'll probably use a stable coin that's linked to the Fed, and it'll be pegged to something. I think it's going to be pegged to Mother Earth, because they're trying to actually put financial models together that has every blade of grass measured. Everything will have a node to it. It's a little bit deep. I can't completely understand it, but somehow the stable coin will either be pegged to just living in this world, this meta, where everything has a financial value, or potentially even gold, right? Maybe it'll be linked to your carbon dioxide tracker, your social credit tracker. Those are a little bit more easy to understand. But check out like node-based financial models valuing Mother Nature. It is weird. It is so weird. But at the end of the day, bullet point number 2, this bank bail-in expects some sort of stable coin pegged to something that has a higher intrinsic value. So so they can wipe out all this debt so it can be a fake jubilee. Then bullet point number three, they have this AI government to track it all. That's what we're seeing with Oracle, with Palantir, with Stargate, with X, right? Doge likely scanned all government databases and shares all the information with all these wicked companies that mostly have their roots with the deep state, with the CIA types. I'm sure they give it to Amazon and Microsoft as well, and Facebook or Meta. Bullet point number four, they will probably launch some sort of universal basic income monitored by AI to make sure the fairness and compliance of bullet point two with the stablecoin that's pegged to something that has carrots to it. Maybe it's as simple as a carbon dioxide tracker or a social credit tracker or both. Bullet point five is they'll integrate biodigital ID, probably because of a digital pandemic that is some sort of cell phone in you. That's, I always ask the question, why do they keep pushing us to be the cell phone by 2030? It's probably the hardware, I like to say, or central processing unit to the nanotech operating system in you, and will complete the task of hooking you up to artificial intelligence to be a mind-controlled zombie. I wonder if they can do it right now, because we've covered the story from 2009 where it said the cell phone can control your thoughts and your brain waves way back then, before AI, before nanotech. So how far along are they? They're far along. But it appears they need you to become the cell phone, willingly, ultimately to worship an image, right? The lake of fire, those that took the mark of the beast and worshiped an image. Number six, use this bio-digital convergence to hook up to artificial intelligence, this brain-computer interface, I think, to solve all the plagues and pestilence in the end of days. Revelation 11:6, talking about the two witnesses. Personally, I think these will be literal witnesses. These have power to shut heaven, that it will rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters to turn them to blood and to smite the earth with all the plagues, as often as they will. I actually wrote a Bible study on this, on the different views. Who are the two witnesses? Some people think it's the church, but it could be an interesting Bible study. Let me know if that's of interest, or do you have your mindset of what you believe? So if these two witnesses have the power to smite the earth with all these plagues, the Antichrist is going to have his counter system of like, look, we can solve all these plagues with the bio-digital convergence, this brain-computer interface, with mRNA technology. Come to us. So it's going to be separating the sheep and the goats. And bullet point number seven, as they get through these seven steps, is global adoption and control of the 10 kings, probably after World War III, and or this could be, these could be tech companies, these 10 kings. Now, I had a dream that I put only on the website of markets moving to Asia, about the dollar being dethroned. And these warriors at the end of the dream came out with armor. I got the sense spiritual warfare is needed as we go through these times, especially if you live in America, as the dollar collapses. This deliberate destruction. So if you're into some of the dreams, check this VCast out. Dream USA dollar dethroned to bring in a central bank digital currencies all by design. That's the thumbnail. And if you have not seen the last VCast, check it out about the mental health agenda. I think it's going to be used on Christians. Great time to be alive, my friends. Thank you for your support. Keep me in the fight. God bless. Bit of a long one. I'm going to play two videos. One of them about the Constitution, this being erased on a government website and why. And then the other video is going to talk about the $100 billion T-bill and what that means. Wild time to be alive. Have no fear. Get right with the Lord. Repent. If you can't support this ministry financially, just pray for me. God bless.
All of a sudden, for some completely unexplained reason, due to a coding error, which has, again, not been explained, some sections of Article 1, Section 8, and the entire sections of 9 and 10 off of the Constitution annotated Congress's Constitution website, constitution.congress.gov, were removed for weeks. They've just got deleted. They're missing. And it doesn't make any sense. Text that's been up there for years would all of a sudden just disappear, specifically text that's in relation to habeas corpus and having to do with all the stuff Trump is doing with tariffs, basically. This article's up on TechCrunch showing exactly what we know, which isn't much because they aren't explaining it. Key sections of the U.S. Constitution deleted from the government's website. Large parts of Section 8, Article 1, Section 8, have been removed, and Sections 9 and 10 deleted altogether. And you can see on the Wayback Machine, they actually have a yellow shows you what was deleted. But you can see if you go on the Wayback Machine and you scroll down, Section 8 just cuts off at a semicolon here. And there's no 9 and 10. It just goes straight to Article 2. It's just gone. Those sections specifically, and I'm going to show you what they actually say here, have to do with providing and maintaining a Navy, rules for the government, regulations of the land of naval forces, providing to call forth the militia to execute laws of the Union, and organizing, arming, and disciplining the militia, to exercise exclusive legislation in all cases whatsoever over such district as may, by session of particular states and the acceptance of Congress, become the seat of government of the United States, which is interesting, because yesterday, Trump just got in saying he wants to federalize D.C. because teenagers are beating people up, so they got to federalize D.C. now, which there's a whole conspiracy about that, which has to do with turning D.C. into a, quote, freedom city.
I want to preface this by saying I'm not a journalist. What I'm about to share with you is just a rumor, though I did hear it from multiple people who do not know each other from multiple areas of the federal government. Donald Trump is trying to give Washington, D.C. to billionaire Peter Thiel. I mean that literally, not figuratively. Like, he's trying to give a billionaire control over the land and the people within Washington, D.C. Apparently, he's considering turning the district into what some call a freedom city. Proponents of freedom cities advocate for areas and territories that are governed and owned completely by corporations, so essentially corporate colonies. So there's no federal government oversight, there's no state government oversight. Essentially, these freedom cities are ruled by CEO kings. So from what I'm hearing, the Trump administration is exploring abusing DC's existing status as a district to make it the first freedom city and give it to his billionaire buddy, Peter Thiel.
I can't verify any of that. It's just a rumor that's going around the area. It's going around the internet, too. To make all laws which are necessary and proper for carrying into execution the foregoing powers and all powers vested by this Constitution. So this has to do with what Congress has the power to do, not what the president has been doing, as if he just has the power to do pretty much anything he wants.
Then I have an Article 2 where I have the right to do whatever I want as president, but I don't even talk about that.
Then you have all of Section 9 having to do with migration or importation of persons. And it says the privilege of the writ of habeas corpus shall not be suspended unless when in cases of rebellion or invasion, the public safety may require it. And as you know, that's a whole thing that everyone's been arguing over because earlier this year, the Trump administration deported a guy from Maryland. They just sent him out claiming he was a gang member with no evidence, no charge, no trial, no nothing, nothing. They just sent him to El Salvador and that was it. And they were forced to bring him back. But at first they said they didn't have any responsibility to do that. So they sent a person who had never been charged with or convicted of a crime to a maximum security terrorism confinement center in El Salvador with no charge or trial. That is what they did. And you can argue all day about the merits of that particular guy's case and what you think about immigration, but all of that is irrelevant. And I'm going to tell you why right now, because the legal implications of this, that is what is important. Because a U.S. District Court judge stated in an opinion on this case that the defendants, being Homeland Security, cling to the stunning proposition that they can forcibly remove any person, migrant or U.S. citizen alike, to prisons outside of the United States and then baldly assert they have no way to effectuate return because they're no longer the custodian, which is the argument. It's being made that they can just send anybody anywhere without a charge or trial, which, by the way, is one of the things that was specifically mentioned in the long train of abuses in the Declaration of Independence. They specifically wrote for transporting us beyond seas to be tried for pretended offenses. That was in our Declaration of Independence. That was one of the things that they were saying was one of the reasons they were declaring independence. Because they weren't giving people jury trials. They weren't even charging people. And they were imposing taxes that were in the under the jurisdiction of admiralty courts that also didn't have jury trial. So they were basically just doing whatever the hell they wanted, whatever the hell they felt like. And that is what this smacks of right here with this whole habeas corpus thing. And the fact that Kristi Noem doesn't even know what it is.
Well, habeas corpus is a constitutional right that the president has to be able to remove people from this country
Habeas corpus, that's incorrect.
President
habeas
Lincoln
corpus,
used it.
Excuse me. Mm-hmm. Habeas corpus is the legal principle mm-hmm. that requires that the government provide a public reason for detaining and imprisoning people.
And by the way, when they asked Trump about this on the news, and they asked him, don't you have a duty to uphold the Constitution in this regard? What about the Fifth Amendment? Trump said, I don't know.
Your Secretary of State says everyone who's here, citizens and non-citizens, deserve due process. Do you agree, Mr. President?
I don't know. I'm not a lawyer. I don't know.
Well, the Fifth Amendment says
I don't know. It seems It might say that, but if you're talking about that, then we'd have to have 1 million or 2 million or 3 million trials. We have thousands of people that are some murderers and some drug dealers and some of the worst people on earth.
I shouldn't even have to say this, but we're either a country that is based upon laws, is based upon the Bill of Rights, is based upon due process and trial by jury, or we're not. That's it.
And I was elected to get them the hell out of here, and the courts are holding me from doing it.
But even given those numbers that you're talking about, don't you need to uphold the Constitution of the United States as president?
I don't know. I have to respond by saying again, I have brilliant lawyers that work for me.
And by the way, El Salvador just got done like last week opening up a path for its president. That dude that everyone seems so enamored with on the MAGA, they just opened up a path for him to stay in power indefinitely. So he can just be president forever. They've eliminated presidential term limits in El Salvador. So they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing there either. So sending people to El Salvador, to a place where they've just eliminated term limits on their president, that's a problem. That's a big problem. Doing it without habeas corpus, doing it without charge or trial, that's a big problem.
Well, the Constitution is clear, and that, of course, is the supreme law of the land, that the privilege of the writ of habeas corpus can be suspended in a time of invasion. So I would say that's an option we're actively looking at.
And then making the argument legally from the Department of Homeland Security that they can just forcibly remove anyone they want to prisons in a foreign country with no charge or trial. All these people saying, yeah, we need to do something about this immigration problem. The immigration problem that, by the way, the last administration just let go into like a total havoc. Well, the answer is not throwing the Bill of Rights and Constitution out the window. That's not going to solve the immigration problem, okay? I don't know why anyone would need to be told that. This is serious. This is not a joke. On top of that, they also removed Section 10, which has to do with no state shall enter into any treaty, alliance, or confederation, grant of letters, coin money, emit bills of credit, or make anything, gold and silver, coin of tender, payments of debt, etc. No state shall, without the consent of Congress, lay any imposts or duties on imports or exports. Sound familiar? Russell Brand recently asked Senator Rand Paul what Trump's presidency is going to be remembered for. Rand Paul answered that actually it's going to have to do with the centralization of power in the executive branch and Trump basically acting like a king and ruling by royal edict, because that is what he's doing with these tariffs. Clearly, this part of the Constitution lays out whose powers taxes are in, and it's not the president. It's Congress. He's ruling by emergency and just doing things that the executive branch is not supposed to do. There's a reason we have the separation of powers in this country.
I think if we step back and we look at the Trump administration and Trump in history, the big debate will be over executive power. And this isn't a new debate. We had it with the kings of England. We tried to form a republic where we limited the power of the executive. But Donald Trump has grabbed up a lot of executive power and is operating through emergency. So basically, one of the big items I think he will be remembered for is tariffs. But it's not tariffs being done through Congress. It's tariffs being done by royal edict or executive edict. And these edicts really aren't passed by Congress. They're simply him taking up this power. It's working its way through our courts. And we've had one federal court already say that he can't do it. And we'll see what happens when it gets to the Supreme Court. He's using a law that was used to allow him to do sanctions on other countries. He's using it to create tariffs. But if you look at tariffs, they're simply a tax. And in our Constitution, we have a very specific rule that says taxes must originate in the House of Representatives, go to the Senate, and then come back and be passed. The tariffs are never being passed by Congress at all. He's completely done an end run around Congress. I think the debate over how much power the executive has will be what he's remembered for.
And like I said in my last video, it isn't as if these tariffs are going to pay down the trillions and trillions, over $150 trillion at least, in unfunded liabilities and obligations and debt that this government has. It doesn't matter how many tariffs Trump pushes through or what he does with that. And we don't even have any assurance that it's actually going to pay that number off. It's not like that number is going down. He claims all this billions of dollars is coming in, but have you seen the number go down? I haven't heard them saying the number has gone down. So we don't have any assurance that it's actually going to pay off the debt. We also don't have any assurance of what the debt even actually is. And if you haven't seen that last video, go watch that. There's no financial accountability in this government pretty much at all anymore, and they admit it. So that whole section was also removed. And it also says that no state shall, without the consent of Congress, lay duty of tonnage, keep troops or ships of war in times of peace, enter into agreements or compacts with another state or a foreign power, or engage in war unless actually invaded or in such imminent danger as will not admit of delay. That's the stuff that got deleted off of here due to a coding error. You know, that doesn't make any technical sense. I was a webmaster when I first got my bachelor's degree. Before I went back to school for my master's, I worked as a webmaster. I mean, I've been running our website for a long time, and, you know, updating text, you just update some text. That takes like 2 seconds. Deleting text also takes 2 seconds, but putting it back also takes 2 seconds. So it doesn't make any sense that these sections were deleted and gone for weeks, and they didn't put it back up until somebody noticed. You see how that works? Orange and green means they can't find these pages. There's something wrong with it. So it was there on the 17th of July, but it was not there as of this morning, and it was down. And what I'm saying is that it's almost like they're sending a message now that if we don't pay attention, if we don't monitor this and pay attention, they're going to just start deleting parts of our Constitution. They're just going to stop adhering to it altogether. They're just going to do whatever the hell they want. as if there's no law of the land at all. Do you know what that means for this country? If they could just delete parts of the Constitution and Trump can just do whatever the hell he wants with no respect for the laws of this land and the oath he took when he became president?
And will, to the best of my ability, preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States.
Don't you need to uphold the Constitution of the United States as president?
I don't know.
We won't have a country anymore. Our whole country is based on these documents. That's our whole country. Trump is doing so many things where he's taking power that are supposed to be the powers of Congress that's outlined in the Constitution. They're not doing their job either. Congress isn't doing their job either. President's not is doing all kinds of stuff that's not supposed to be the president's job, acting like a king in a country that fought a war to not be under the power of a king. And now the website for Congress that has our Constitution up on it supposedly has a coding error that's just deleting whole sections out of Article 1 of our Constitution that are in relation to the things that are actually going on right now. Like, that's what's happening. And it feels like a message. It feels like a republic if you can keep it. Do you remember that quote when they asked Benjamin Franklin, doctor, what have we got, a republic or a monarchy? And he said, a republic if you can keep it. Because if we can't keep it, we're going back to a despotic, monarchical government, basically. They might act like it's a republic in name, the same way Rome acted like they still had a republic when it was clearly an empire. It's basically what's going on now anyway. But when you have a president come in and start doing things that are supposed to be, by Constitution, Congress's job, just declaring emergencies and doing whatever he wants, passing the most executive orders on day one that you've ever seen in your life. I mean, there's not really a whole lot of difference between executive orders and royal proclamations. Not really. I mean, it's still unilateral power that's being wielded by one person. Do we want King Trump? I mean, people said, oh, the No Kings movement, that's just paid by Soros. Well, it's a really great way to get people to dismiss the idea of no kings. It's a really great way to get people to say, oh, that's just the left. It's not just the left. We should never have a king here. I don't care if they're called a king or if it's a president acting like a king. We should never have that because that goes against the entire foundation of this country. What code could have possibly been changed to remove this specific section of the website? Nobody believes you. Show the update history. That's what people want to know. Because no one believes them. There's no coding error that just removes parts of that. Habeas corpus is one of the foundational principles of this country that separates America from places like North Korea. It's not a coding error. They're just deleting parts of the Constitution. They're sending a message to us now. We need to realize this is what's going on, okay? I don't care how much you like Trump or how scared you were of a Kamala presidency. If he just does whatever the hell he wants with no regard to anything, that's not a president of America. That's a dictator. That's tyranny. It's absolutely attacking the foundational principles of why this country even exists. I don't know what else needs to be said. This is getting real. This has been coming for a while. We've been trying to tell everyone for a long time, but now we're here and you're seeing the things happen. We need to get people to stop watching Fox News and start looking at what's actually going on here. Right at the end of this video, an update has been sent out by the Library of Congress. Update, missing sections of the Constitution annotated website have been restored. Upkeep of the Constitution annotated and other digital resources is a critical part of the library's mission. We appreciate the feedback that alerted us to the error and allowed us to fix it. And they're telling you right here, the feedback that alerted us to the error, that came from the people. Thanks for the feedback, because if you don't push back, if you don't point it out, the whole Constitution could just get deleted, or whole parts of it could just be deleted. See, Americans? See how easy it is to delete whole sections of your Constitution?
Just triggered the largest short-term debt sale in history, and the implications for you and I are massive. Now, in case you missed it, the U.S. plans record $100 billion sale as borrowing needs mount, an unprecedented figure that showcases both the magnitude of its borrowing needs and its ability to attract investors. In plain English, the government needs cash, and it needs cash fast. We are talking about four-week T-bills. This is short-term gap funding. It is not a good sign for the largest and strongest nation with the global reserve currency. In fact, many could see this as a sign of desperation or of the trying times ahead. And again, if you think that none of this is going to impact you, think again. They are counting on the majority of people not understanding or not caring about this because it sounds like one of those financial technical headlines that doesn't really impact your day-to-day life, but do not let them get away with this. The reality is, this is one of the clearest alarm bells we've seen as far as the acceleration of the dollar collapse that is already underway, something that will absolutely impact the quality and standard of our daily lives. But I'm getting ahead of myself. Let's go ahead and start with what exactly is happening and why it's so concerning. So just like any other debt, when the U.S. borrows, eventually that debt comes due, at which point the U.S. has two options. Option one, pay off the debt. Simple enough, except that we cannot afford to do that. So that leaves the U.S. with option two, which is to roll over the debt, essentially issue new debt to cover what's outstanding. But the problem is we have a lot of debt maturing. We also have a deficit that's going to be continuing to grow and interest payments on our debt that also are costing us more and more, which means we are going to be issuing a lot of debt in the form of treasury bills. Now, this article says a treasury bill deluge is here. What could go wrong? Obviously, that's sarcasm. A lot could go wrong. It says no trouble is expected in the near term, which is questionable, but beyond that, worries loom. Yeah, you think? I think that's putting it nicely. See, you've probably heard the saying before that there will always be a buyer for U.S. debt, which historically has been somewhat true because we are the global reserve currency. But as countries continue to move away from the dollar because of the United States weaponization of the dollar, because of our exportation of inflation, because of concerns around our credibility, well, we're going to have a situation where demand for our debt continues to shrink. It's something that we're already seeing happen now. And before someone out there says, oh, but the U.S. will never default on their debt, which, side note, technically, the U.S. actually already has multiple times. Look it up if you don't believe me. But we don't even have to be talking about an official, we're not paying you back. I mean, think about it. If you borrowed $100 from someone 50 years ago and they paid you back that $100 today, it's going to be worth significantly less. And that's 50 years. But I mean, look at just the last 5 years. It's going to be worth, what, $25 less? Now, imagine if we're talking about billions, hundreds of billions of dollars, right? Any amount of inflation that's going to happen, you might get paid back nominally the same amount, but you don't want to get paid back value-wise less. That's why all these countries are shifting into reliable stores of value such as gold. And this is why it makes sense when we look at President Trump, you know, coming after Jerome Powell and saying we need to lower rates, regardless of whether you agree with that or not. A big component of lowering rates is, of course, that we need to borrow a lot of money. So if rates come down, well, then in theory, that's going to help make our borrowing costs come down. And it's going to allow us to refinance a lot of our debt at lower rates. Because right now, as foreign demand for our debt continues to decline, what does that mean? It means we can still borrow, but it's going to be a lot more expensive. So what are we doing? Well, we are shifting our focus to stopgap measures like short-term bills, right? I mean, you can have a 30-year treasury or you could have a multi-day, but really 4 weeks, that is nothing in the grand scheme. Historically, that has been used as a quick cash need, not a stopgap for $100 billion that we're going to borrow, because that means in 4 weeks, we have to refinance that again. This is not a sustainable tool. It leaves us completely vulnerable to any kind of market volatility or the whims of anyone out there who's borrowing, and leaves us very, very exposed. But if you think that this is a one-off, think again. Last week, U.S. Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent came out and said that this is going to be the new norm. We could expect a lot more of this. And to put it into context for you, too, because you might be sitting there and thinking, so still, what's the big deal, $100 billion? It says here that that four-week bill offer is equivalent to more than a quarter of the total amount of bonds sold in the U.K. in the 2024-2025 fiscal year. But we are pushing that out as a four-week short sale bond offering. So who's actually buying this? Well, it's money market funds, which... okay, that's fine, right, on the surface, but it does bring up some other problems. And this is where we really starting to get to where the risk could come from, the volatility I mentioned earlier. Now, it says here, one potential complication for money fund managers is that the Federal Reserve is expected to lower rates again as soon as September. So typically when this happens, you could see an exodus from the short term and you could see more people piling into the long term. That could mean that right away, there's no more demand for the short-term debt. Now, short-term debt, which historically was a tool as a stopgap or emergency or quick cash flow, now there's no interest for it. So when you use something that you historically had kind of in your back pocket and there's no demand for it, well, what's your next tool, right? What's the next layer of protection? And it doesn't just stop there either. There's serious liquidity concerns here with bringing in the money market funds and actually having them potentially jeopardize U.S. banks, the system as a whole. We could see a serious liquidity problem from having them pile into all these short-term bonds. Let me explain. It says the Treasury risks tipping the market to a point where it doesn't have enough liquidity to absorb all the debt. One gauge of excess liquidity is the Fed's overnight reverse repo facility, or RRP. Now, I've talked about this before in the past, and in fact, I'm going to do an in-depth video on the reverse repo facility and where it stands today, because it is sharply declining in numbers. And it's a lot to get into and try and cram it into this video too, so I'll be doing a whole separate deep dive on it next week. But essentially, it hasn't always been around. It was created in the aftermath of 2008 Great Financial Crisis. So you could argue, well, we don't even need it. But the reality is it's here. And we've seen before what happens when it gets too low. Essentially, there's no flexibility. There's no liquidity in the system. And that's when things start to freeze and seize. And that's when the Fed has to step in and fire up the printing press and help with QE. And they have all kinds of different tools now, right? Stealth QE, where they're kind of under the radar helping and manipulating. But ultimately, that means more inflation. That means a devaluation of your dollar. And that's assuming that they step in and help. Of course, they will, because they're the lender of last resort. But in the meantime, we could see all kinds of issues popping up from this. Bank failures, who knows what else? You know, it says as the Treasury floods the market with a competing asset, T-bills, money is expected to drain out of the RRP. And it's something we are already seeing happen now. So imagine what's going to happen as this flood of short-term Treasury bills continues to hit the market. if they are an interesting proposition for these funds, they're, of course, all going to pile into it, meaning that there's no liquidity left in the system. Now, I don't know if all of this is making sense. I know it gets a little bit convoluted, but the bottom line is that this is not a good beacon of what's to come. This is showing that we are using emergency tools as regular tools, therefore limiting our options in the future. It also is leaving us vulnerable to any volatility in the market. It's also leaving us vulnerable to the whims of private funds that obviously operate for profit, so they're not interested in saving the system. They're going to go wherever the profit takes them. And it also is a sign of the fact that the US dollar is completely losing its dominance on a global stage, right? That's the biggest thing right there. That is a big blaring alarm sign that I am hearing in my head, is that ultimately we are adding debt, not taking away debt, yet who is buying it? People are buying it, but at what cost, right? How long can this go on for? That's when we say unsustainable, that's what we mean. I think that ultimately for me, when I look at all of this, the picture becomes very clear when you zoom out and see what's really going on. The future is not bright for the dollar, right? I mean, we've known that for a while, but it's accelerating. And that's what I keep saying. When you look at the timeline, things are speeding up. And this isn't to scare you. This is just to educate you, right? Because I keep encouraging everyone to make sure you have a strategy in place for what's coming next. That's what we focus on here at ITM Trading. And if you don't have one, or you have one and you want a second opinion from people who study this, who have helped people just like you for years, then call us at the number below or click the link in the description and talk to one of our expert analysts. There's a reason that central banks and foreign nations are moving out of the dollar and into gold. If